There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we discover that feeling alone isn't easy. And sometimes new beginnings take time. But even the hardest days come to an end, and you never know what tomorrow will bring. Thanks for joining us.
That was almost sad, but then it wasn't. Yeah, that was great.
It's okay.
Goodbye, Friend, Hello, Friend by Corey Dorfeld.
That's right. Get it for your kids. And thanks again for joining us.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So much fun.
We talked all about the eclipse in the bonus show. So if you're a patron, you get that. And if you're not a patron, you could become a patron. Yeah. It's not hard.
One tiny dollar to get all that eclipse content because there is a lot of it.
You know, with inflation, a dollar is like 10 cents now.
It's like nothing. You wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't be worth your time to bend over and pick up the dollar that you're going to pledge to our Patreon.
Exactly. So that you can hear our entire rundown of our three, because we are a triple totality show, by the way, which is pretty awesome. Tom, Rich, and I all either were in the case of Rich, or traveled to totality locations.
And along the path.
Right, totally.
I was down in Texas. Rich was in Ohio. You were up in New York.
That's actually pretty amazing. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yes. It was lovely.
So hear all about it. Patreon.com/it's a thing.
My first thing explains why people first had overly high expectations for the eclipse, thought they were a little disappointed, then got enlightened, and now the eclipse is awesome.
Okay.
It's the Gartner hype cycle.
Tell me everything.
Have you heard of the Gartner hype curve or Gartner hype cycle?
I don't think so, but certainly have experienced it as I look at this drawing.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Gartner, of course, for those who don't, it's a consulting, research, IT, advisory type place. According to Gartner, the market share for the iPhone is blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
Yep.
The Gartner hype cycle basically says for new technologies, there's a trigger, the breakthrough that kind of kicks people off talking about the thing at all. Then you go into the peak of inflated expectations. Oh my gosh, AI is going to change everything. It's going to make the entire world wonderful and automate all of our things so that we can have leisure time. Then you get the trough of disillusionment. Oh no, it's going to take all of our jobs. And it also doesn't work well. And it's racist. That's the trough of disillusionment for AI. Then you get the slope of enlightenment. That's when you start to realize, okay, maybe it isn't good at everything, but it is pretty good at these things. And the benefits start to crystallize. It becomes more widely understood. Second and third generation versions show up that are got more realistic expectations and improved. And then you get the plateau of productivity, where mainstream adoption happens, and then you just got smartphones. And everybody complains that the smartphones aren't new anymore, but they're great.
And everybody's just sort of quietly using them.
This is
incredible. How have I not known about this before? This is amazing. I mean, obviously, I have heard the words the hype cycle. So is when people say hype cycle, is it just a concatenation, like just a shortening of Gartner hype cycle? This must be the one they mean.
I don't know. I imagine it's both. I imagine there's some people who do picture the Gartner hype curve in their head when they say hype cycle. I imagine there are some people who just say hype cycle because I think Gartner named it the Gartner hype cycle after the various hype cycles that people talk about to say, here it is. Here's what it looks like. Yeah.
Also, I would just like to say, so if you look it up, you will see a line, right? You see a big peak and then a big trough and then a line that levels out maybe halfway at the halfway point of the big peak. And then if you read the Wikipedia entry and you go to the criticism section, it says, there have been numerous criticisms of the hype cycle, prominent among which are that it is not a cycle.
Because it doesn't end. It's doesn't repeat. Line. Yeah. That's why I actually call it the Gartner hype curve. That is a more accurate way to describe it. It is a curve. This came up at a conversation I was having at the eclipse with somebody's like, well, you know, the Gartner hype curve, right? And the other person's like, oh, yeah, no, the Gartner hype curve. And I was like,
you're like, wait, huh, what?
All right. So I'm not saying like the Gartner hype curve is a thing in that like it's trending and you're going to hear everybody talking about it. I'm saying, oh, this is a thing that people talk about and know about. And so, you know, now we do too. So if somebody brings it up at your next eclipse party, you can be like, oh, yes, of course, the Gartner hype curve, sometimes called the hype cycle. Yeah, I'm very well aware. What do you mean by it?
I love that because I do hear people throw around the words, especially like it's sort of a favorite of the VC world to constantly talk about the hype cycle, the state where we are in the hype cycle. This, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's the late stage capitalism of the innovation cycle, like always. And I love the idea of then being like, you mean the Gartner hype curve?
You mean the Gartner hype cycle really, or just really the hype cycle?
It's really more of a curve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so good. It's really really more,
you know, more. Technically speaking, it's not actually a cycle.
Not actually a cycle.
Oh, that's amazing. And I absolutely love it. And I love it. It's wonderful. Yeah. We have been smartened.
Gartner hype curve, a thing. Now you know.
I am not here to insmarten you with my first thing today.
Or in are fact, you?
Or perhaps I am, because it turns out that you too can have that oh so cherished, fully frickin' tattooed body look that the kids these days are all so fond of without having to get any tattoos. Because evidently, upscale temporary tattoos are a super duper thing.
Oh my gosh. So for those who are like, you know, I'm just not interested in having something permanent, but I love the look. Mm-hmm. Now they have the modern day adult equivalent of the like lick the paper and, yes, and rub it on your arm.
Exactly. You've all experienced like henna or the, you know, the, you, yeah, know, yeah, lick the end of the paper and stick it on your arm and then it's immediately peeling and then it's kind of crappy and whatever. They now have and have had for a couple of years, and increasingly in more and more companies are developing these like higher quality temporary tattoos. The one that I keep getting the Instagram ad for is Inkbox, and they are nice. I mean, they're like really realistic looking. There are tons of different designs. They even sell pens so that you can draw your own. And I became aware of it around the time of the Grammys, because Doja Cat showed up at the Grammys covered in tattoos, including like face tattoos. Like she had this big tattoo all across her forehead and one under her eye and then all over
her neck. Wonder about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So did I. Like I was just like, what in the blue blazes? When did this poor woman, because I'm sorry, I am of the age where I still find it somewhat upsetting when I see people with tattoos all over their face. Call me an old lady, which I kind of am, because I'm always like, ooh, face tattoos. And I was like, Doja Cat is covered in face tattoos. What happened? And
then
I went looking on the DuckDuckGo, and it turns out they were all faux. And so she just spent like a whole day probably getting these. And then I started looking at them more closely, and it was like there was this cathedral on her chest and a sun. And then one of them was like, the name of a tattoo artist who maybe did the faux ones. I don't really know. But then I was like, this is awesome.
I think, I don't know, Rich, are you responding to somebody else saying seasonal tattoo? But seasonal tattoo. Yeah.
Saray TW said, I love a seasonal tattoo.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It was covered by my water glass. So, yeah, no, that's brilliant, Saray. Seasonal tattoos.
Yeah.
little Christmas tattoo, Halloween tattoo, spring tattoo.
You can, and you can get custom ones. I mean, there are more companies than Inkbox. That's just the one that I see all the time, and their tattoos are really cool. But yes, you can order custom ones. So you could order a custom seasonal tattoo. They also apparently do nails. Then you can get the free pan marker, and then you can order the existing ones. And I am so into this. I'm not sure I'm ready to get even a temporary face tattoo, but like, I'm going to order a bunch of tattoos. This is awesome. Tattoos are one of those things. Go ahead. Sorry.
According to the one I found 9 sheets of them for $10 on Amazon. So they're cheap. You cut out the one you want, pull off the film, press it against your skin for 30 seconds. Slowly pull it off. You got a tattoo.
Yep.
That's
you can
nothing.
Also, there's a company called Pignone that sells a full arm. So you just can do the whole arm all at once. Wow. Which is amazing.
Sleeve. Temporary sleeve.
But put a whole sleeve on at once instead of, because remember we talked about like face stickers you can get then.
Oh, yeah, right.
There are
little
like face ones. You can get just bottles of temporary tattoo ink. I'm thrilled by this, honestly.
Rich has already made an It's a Thing logo temporary tattoo on Inkbox.
Nice. Of course he has. Oh, look at that. That's so cool.
That's ridiculous.
We should get those on our face.
We should. Like right in the middle of our forehead. That'll look great.
Anyway, I love it. Tattoos are one of those things where, like, I got a tattoo at 18 that I still love. It's really meaningful to me. And I had found it, the design, when I was like 16 and held on to it. You know, I mean, that's not a long time to become an adult or anything, but I like was really.
Felt like it at the time.
When I went and got my tattoo, my two college roommate dorm mates went with me, and one of them got like the Red Hot Chili Peppers symbol, and the other one got, you know, I don't know, like a heart or like a frog or like a frog. She got a frog, I think, on her ankle. And I just remember thinking, yeah. And then, you know, they were like, this is permanent. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, by the time I genuinely sat there, like, by the time I'm an adult, they are going to have perfected tattoo removal technology because of these ding dongs right here with me.
They will drive the innovation, these two.
They will drive the innovation. And they're still, like, you can get tattoos removed, but it's frankly not as far along as I thought it would be. I thought they would have like nanotechnology where they would just do one little injection and a thing would go in there and eat all the ink and like goodbye. But now it's like you can get scarring and it's like still really painful. I don't know if they're just trying to punish us for our bad decisions, but I love the idea that you can do all of the same look and then
have technology went for temporary tattoos instead, apparently. This look great.
If you did it, you're still punished, but
yeah, that's on you for not waiting for the technology to catch up.
Exactly. Anyway, that's a thing.
Yeah, these are I dispute that this did not ensmarten me because I feel smarterer now.
Yay!
For knowing this. This is good stuff. This is you. Yeah. Temporary tattoos, and they're cheap.
And they're cheap. I know. I'm all in on the Inkbox ones. I'm going to get some.
We'll have one as an affiliate link in the store.
Don't you worry.
Speaking of tattoos, have you seen Teddy Swims?
Yes.
Talk about tattoos. Those aren't temporary.
So, yeah, no.
They're
covered. He's in the Post Malone category of like, oh my God.
Definitely.
Really, it's just really all over your face. Holy crap.
And Benson Boone, the Noah Kahan. Is it Kahan? The stick season guy?
The stick season guy. Yeah. I don't know how you say it out loud.
They are part of a trend of singer-songwriters. Singer-songwriters are a thing. Mm-hmm. We are in the era of the singer-songwriter. Stick season's like 2 years old, and it's like making a run on multiple charts around the world.
Oh, it's 2 years old? I did not know that because it's everywhere right now. I thought it was brand new.
No, it's been around. Wow. But yeah, just in the past 6 months, it's taken off.
I had no idea that that was an old song. You are totally right, though. And it's, I mean, they come and go, you know, like the tides, singer-songwriters. Don't you think we may have Taylor Swift to thank for this a little bit?
Yes.
Or is it just are we just in the Gartner hype curve of, of singer-songwriters?
I feel like it's a confluence. So Taylor is one you know, imagine singer-songwriters as a trend is the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a delta of streams pouring into that ocean, and Taylor might be the Mississippi River pouring into that ocean potentially. But yeah, there's that. There's the country music kick, you know, of like, yep. I mean, and Beyonce's riding that wave right now. Not in a singer-songwriter way necessarily, but like they, you know, that's a parallel stream. And she's from New Orleans, which is the home of one of the biggest deltas on the planet. So it all ties together is what I'm saying, Molly.
It does. But
yeah, there's the country thing that sort of, you know, cycle that happens where you go like really complex, weird music and really simple folksy music. And we're in the really simple folksy music part of the curve.
I love it. It's wonderful. Maybe protest music is next. But man, you are so right. Because when I look at my liked songs playlist, it's all that. And then it's, a little yeah. bit of like Yeehaw Agenda. Yeah. So let's see. I've got Fire by Barnes Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Better Than by Lake Street Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Stick Season.
Oh, yeah.
By Noah Kahan, which we think might be how you say that. Beautiful Things by Benson Boone. Lose Control by Teddy Swims. And then this new, I'm into this band, Lawrence. And there's a just song recommendation as long as we're here. There's a guy named Jacob Collier who did a mm-hmm. collaboration with Lawrence and Michael McDonald.
Oh.
Called Wherever I Go. That's just an outstanding song and everyone should listen to it immediately.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Singer-songwriters, folks.
Nailed it.
They're a thing.
Absolutely nailed it. Oh, you know what goes great with just a night of listening to some singer-songwriter music, maybe just kicking back, just really appreciating, you know, the unadorned rawness of it. Some natural wine.
Natural wine.
Natural.
Tell me more. Because I want a good wine, and I like natural.
Yes, you do. You want a non-GMO. Okay, so I'm going to acknowledge that natural wine has been on a sharp upswing,
mm-hmm.
a hype curve, if you will. And it is in the last like 1 or 2 years, but I had completely missed it. And apparently people are super into
Saray's
it.
Saray's like, what is natural? Brewed on the bush?
Well, let me tell you, because I found this article in Wine Enthusiast from like 2023, where they were just like, yes, it might seem like it's a huge trend right now, and it is, but it's been on the rise. They are fermented spontaneously with native yeast. No, none of the winemaking additives allowed by U.S. law are used in the process except for a small amount of sulfur before bottling. So I think that...
Well, it's not natural.
And then also, they involve biodynamic, organic, and or sustainable farming practices. Little or no chemical or technological manipulation. And they're usually made, obviously, as you might imagine, in very small quantities. Mm-hmm. People tend to say that natural wines don't give you as much of a headache because maybe they have fewer sulfites and just overall, like, they don't have as many additives. They are lower alcohol, which I think people might like because they're, you know, you can have them with food and drink a lot. Mm-hmm. They also tend to taste kind of yucky, I think.
I was waiting. I was like, and?
They're like, you know, when you use like natural deodorant.
Yeah. Turns out that the process of making wine is there for a reason, maybe. I don't know.
And you get an odor that some people describe as funky.
Yeah, unfiltered wine, I'm already a little bit like, well, I mean, okay, that's what a decanter's for, I guess, but it's nicer not to have to worry about it. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, some people, yeah, it sounds like there's a huge variety and some are good.
Is it wrong that my first reaction is like, oh, you mean lazy wine? You don't have to do anything.
No, come on. It's more
okay,
like,
so that's wrong. That's wrong.
More like paleo wine. I think orange wine, Afi James says, I'm thinking of orange wine, which we did talk about on the show. Orange wine is sometimes, I think any wine can be natural, but
sure.
Orange wine tends to probably be more like involving these techniques because it's skin contact wine. Like they leave the skin on for some period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I suspect that there's a big crossover.
So there's more biodynamics and stuff. And yes. And I think it's unfair to call it lazy wine because there is apparently, I'm looking at this Wine Enthusiast article, a lot of, you know, sustainable farming practices and things that are more work than.
Right. Than, it's kind of the opposite of lazy, actually. Yeah, they can only make a few bottles at a time. And minimal intervention, they call it, natural winemaking techniques. I mean, I kind of want to try it. I occasionally will get a headache from red wine, but not every time.
That one doesn't bother you all the time.
I don't know if I'd buy that one, but.
Anyway. Well, yeah, some people get the headache, some people don't. I never get the headache from red wine. I'm lucky that way. So, but if it were less of a hangover, you know, if you drink too much, stuff like that, that's good.
I do like more the idea of lower alcohol wine so that you could have, like, you know, wine all through your dinner without feeling, because I'm like a two glasses and I'm a little drunk person. So I would appreciate a lower alcohol natural wine. But yes, they're expensive, they're artisanal. They're handcrafted, and they're a thing.
All right, they're definitely a thing. Okay, yeah, this is a good one. I'm going to definitely keep my eye out for the natural wine. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it like this week. I know I will.
Oh, for sure, in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
restaurants. There's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I just like literally saw an ad for like a natural wine tasting event. Even.
Yeah,
I think it might be that it's been a low key thing, and it might be becoming a higher key thing all of a sudden.
So we're in the unreasonable expectations phase of the Gartner hype curve.
Exactly. And then we're going to experience the sudden drop off when everybody realizes that they taste funky, like, AKA gross.
That tastes good.
And then I want to check in on, as long as you're having a natural wine, apparently you may also enjoy a cigar. I got an addendum when I talked about smoking. A friend said, actually, not only is smoking a thing, but women apparently have been smoking cigars, and the Swisher Sweet is back.
The Swisher Sweet is back.
The Swisher Sweet is back. And clove cigarettes and cigars. Yeah. Shout out my friend Sarah, who was like, I think women are out here smoking like Swisher Sweets and cigars.
It's 1989 again.
It freaking is. I saw that. I took one look at that Swisher Sweet box and I was like, wow, I'm in college.
Yeah, exactly. And cloves too, right?
Cloves, totally. 100%. Yeah. And a clove will knock you on your ass too. Be careful. Don't experiment with those.
Oh, I loved cloves in college.
I loved them.
Yeah. I don't know. They just smell good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to your good things. Feedback at itsthing.me. Joe Hood wrote in on a thing that's blowing up. He says, my feeds have been full of a new thing recently. Explosive thinging, rapid thing acceleration. This thing went from zero to ubiquitous for me in the past 10 days. And I have seen it not only online, but all over sports coverage and also in my teen son's actions. That's three sources confirmed there.
Dang.
That thing is Sketch, a Twitch streamer, and his eminently meme-worthy phrases. He started streaming Madden football games in November 2023, and some of his phrases have slipped into the teen zeitgeist. What's up, brother? With a finger in the air. Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. Special teams, special plays, special players are all examples. In the past week, he appeared all over my feed, along with people using his catchphrases. I've seen clips of SportsCenter anchors, NCAA athletes, Major League Baseball players, NFL players, all using his memes. There's a six-day-old Know Your Meme article for him that lays out his rise since last fall. He certainly appeals to adolescent boys and those who act like them, but I'm vaguely uncomfortable with his rise. His actions and language feel like he is on the autism spectrum, and I can't tell if it is authentic or an act. If he is actually on the spectrum, this is pretty cool. If he's pretending to be on the spectrum, this is upsetting. In either case, I expect Sketch to infiltrate pop culture even more in the next few weeks.
Wow, good spot.
Yeah, nicely done, Joe.
I asked
Tuesday,
my sports
Tuesday,
obsessed.
Tuesday.
I asked my sports obsessed teenage son via text if he's heard of him. So hopefully, I'll have an answer before the show ends.
Indeed, this coming soon. Stay tuned.
Text as reliably as they used to. Liz, who recently wrote in about rotting, has some more things for us, including everything showers. Most of us, she writes, have some things that we do during every shower, like soap, and then things we do only sometimes, shaving, washing hair, exfoliating, deep conditioning. True. And then she says an everything shower is doing all of it in one go, probably includes some pre and post shower things like dry brushing and slathering on moisturizer, usually before a date, before a vacation, or on Sundays. The first time I heard this term, I was like, yes, I know exactly what this is without needing an explanation. I just hadn't known there was a term for it. Still love you. Still mean it.
Aww.
I have had the identical reaction to reading this email, Liz. I'm so happy that there is, in fact, a name. Like, I have called it like a long shower, but mm-hmm. it's an all the things shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you relate to this at all? Do dudes have an everything shower?
Not as many things, right?
Right.
That are expected of people identified as males. I can sort of identify with the, you know, oh, you got to shave, you know, trim the beard, you know,
yeah,
you use the nice smelling soap. I don't know. Yeah.
The Olaplex spray on for 10 minutes before the shower. Oh my goodness. The everything shower. That's so good.
Everything shower is perfect. Well done, Liz.
Outstanding.
Ben from Virginia on a TikTok thing. Hi, Thingers. Had to dash off this message after coming across what feels like the 10th TikTok reaction video or recreation of the German rap Barbara song, Barbarous Rabarberber by Bodo Wartke. As far as I can see, this is the original, and he sent us a link to the TikTok, but it has been exploding everywhere with reactions and remakes. When I first heard this, I loved it, but I thought that I had broken into a very strange German rap TikTok niche. Turns out this video is showing up across tons of TikTok niches. It's very catchy, and I have high confidence in its thingitude. I love how much fun you have with this show, Tom and Molly. Keep it up. Thank you, Ben. I mean, sorry, Danke, Ben.
Nice. I haven't seen this, and I'm going to go look for it immediately after the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Sai writes in on a missed whoopertinity. Hi, Morito, one of my favorite adult beverages. Hey, after listening to the whoop segment and Tom and Molly joyfully with a tiny bit of derision whooping it up, I expected Tom, a former resident of Austin, to make a Texas Aggies reference. Maybe it was out of deference to his Longhorn friends from his Lone Star days. Sai, UT class of 77, diploma received 80. Is that a thing? Is that an Aggies thing? Whoop.
I'm not an Aggie.
Oh, so you're not an Aggie. Mm-mm.
I'm UT. Mm-hmm. So out of deference to his Longhorn friends? Ouch. And he's Get UT. It's Sai is also UT? I'm confused. Also, I don't get the reference.
Okay, good. Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick.
Saray on things Dune and otherwise. First thing, Dune sandworm popcorn buckets.
Oh, totally.
A few weeks ago, I asked my son if we were going to see Dune together. He told me that he couldn't go with me because I wasn't going to AMC to view it. Apparently, AMC sold popcorn buckets with a giant sandworm attached to the top by which you access your popcorn. My son doesn't even like popcorn. I might have smuggled in some of the spice melange. Side effects may include prophetic hallucinations and, spoiler alert, time travel spoiler. I'm counting on the latter so I can get me a Dune sandworm popcorn bucket. Second thing, more Dune. A few days later, I attempted to have lunch delivered to my job from one of my favorite food trucks called Schmacken, Dutch for tasty, and noticed they have a specialty menu of Dune dishes. Sardaukar, home siege home, and spiced melange.
That's amazing.
Third thing, Cerveza Cristal Star Wars meme. Did you get a chance to see the Cerveza Cristal memes? And there's links to Forbes, Business Insider, and IGN. Thank you, Saray.
What? I did not see the Cerveza Cristal memes. That is bananas. I'm super sad that I didn't think to bring the sandworm popcorn bucket because I did see that everywhere. And I hope
did
we
you
have
get
some
one?
Dune dishes. No, we didn't. Also didn't go to an AMC, and I was bumming.
Oh man.
Cerveza Cristal edit of the original trilogy surfaced online.
That's great. Watch those videos.
We got some
people.
Research to do after this.
Indeed. Good stuff, Thingers. Well done.
Good stuff. Here is where I should confess that we have given you some erroneous information, which is that although you can support the show at the $1 level, you only get the bonus content at the $5 level.
We may have accidentally implied you get the bonus content, but it's still true. You can support for just a dollar.
It's true.
Inflation.
Also inflation. So there you go. Patreon.com/It's a Thing is where you can support the show at any level. And if you choose to go to the shout out level, then by God, are you in for a treat?
This week's shout outs are based on review synopses for mini DV cameras written by Dick Ridington for CNET in the early 2000s. And can you tell me a shout out basis that is not more Rich Strofolito than this?
I mean, dude. And no, neither of us were there then. No, that's not true. I'm a huge liar. I was totally there and I don't know this guy.
Dick Wrightington. Yeah, I don't know him either.
Stop saying it.
I wasn't there until 2004. And I think he was gone by then.
I was there in 2000, and I do not recall him being there. But this is amazing.
All right. It's good, bad, bottom line, too.
Oh, my God. Flashbacks galore.
So good. Which ones do you want?
Do you want the good and the bottom line?
You want the bad? You want the bad. Okay, here we go. The good. 3CCD Kevin Sill Fidelity, an array of Mike Aiken's rate options, compact Valor trucks, competitive Laura Abel, decent James C. Smith quality, large flip-out Lee Price, and manual Benjamin Forrest ring.
The bad. Auto Eric Duncan responsiveness, lack of mechanical Morris Jones for off-use adjustments, suboptimal AB puppy performance, no Brian Gianfracaro stabilization, limited Luis Saint Amour life.
The bottom line, this Gabriel Cohen is a capable and easy-to-use three-chip Joe Hood for advanced Jake Woods, who prize AJ Venturella.
Wow.
Actually, that's every bottom line ever. This noun is a capable and easy to use noun for advanced nouns who prize nouns.
I mean, it really is. When I was at the New York Times, I used to joke that every column that you ever wrote ended with time will tell.
I guess we'll see.
Will this technology take off? Time will tell.
That's so true. It's only funny because it's true.
Thank you for supporting the show, for listening to It's a Thing. You can become a member, like we said. You will also, in addition to all the other things we mentioned, get access to our Discord, where we record live every week and you can chat alongside us, plus an ad-free RSS feed and more, patreon.com/It's a Thing.
You can also support the show by buying your temporary tattoos through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes or over at our shopping page, along with lots of other cool stuff at itsathing.me/shop. Keep those things coming too. Feedback at itsathing.me.
See you next week. Bye.